مركز معلم الأجيال لحفظ ونشر تراث البابا شنودة الثالث.
The School of Oriental and African Studies for its kind invitation for me and giving me a chance to speak about Coptic Monasticism. I wish to thank my two brothers for their introduction. Indeed, I try to say something about Coptic monasticism. It is not easy to cover all the subject. I want to say that Egypt was the motherland of monasticism. The first monk in the whole world was Saint Anthony, a Copt from Upper Egypt. The first abbot who put monastic rules for monasteries was Saint Bakun, a Copt from Upper Egypt. Egypt offered its deserts and wilderness for monasticism. Saint Anthony, the pioneer of monasticism, was born in the year 251, and he departed from our world in the year 356. Age of 105 years. Saint Anthony indeed was not the first monk. Before him we had Saint Paul the Hermit or the Anachorite, the first of the Anachorites. He was also a Copt. But Saint Anthony was considered the father of all monks because he was the abbot. He was the teacher who guided others in monastic life. All the fathers of monasticism in the 4th century was guided by Saint Anthony in the monastic life. He was a pioneer, the teacher. Monasticism began as a life of solitude. Before establishing monasteries, Saint Anthony became a monk. He stayed about 30 years without seeing anybody. The visitors who discovered his place obliged him to appear and teach them his ways. The life of Saint Anthony was very attractive. It attracted many people to have the same life. The monks were called earthly angels or heavenly human beings, as they lived a very deep spiritual life. They didn't write about themselves, but visitors who were attracted from so many nations came to have words of spiritual benefit and wrote about them. One of the most famous writers who wrote about monasticism was Saint Palladius. Palladius published his book on the title of Historia Lausiaca. As he wrote the history of monasticism for a certain nobleman named Lausius. But this Historia Lausiaca was translated under the title of The Paradise of the Fathers. But one of the most famous books was the book written by Saint Athanasius of Alexandria, the 20th Pope of the See of Saint Mark. His book was written to the people of Roma, having the title of Vita Antonii, the life of Antony. He presented monasticism to the West, to the people of Rome. And this book was very famous. It was translated to so many languages. And it had a great impression on people, speaking about Saint Anton. They say also that this book, Vita Antonii, had impression on Augustinus, was one of the causes of his repentance. He became also a monk and then a bishop of Hippo in North Africa. Some others wrote about monasticism. Among them, Jean Cassien. He published two books. One of them was the Book of Institutes. The other is the Book of Conferences. In his Book of Institutes, he wrote four chapters about Coptic monasticism in details. And the other eight chapters about eight diabolic wars against human beings. In his book Conferences, he spoke about some visits to famous Coptic monks. He said they lived near some lakes in the delta. The place was not suitable for residence, for common people. So it was suitable for monks to live in places deserted by others in order to have the life of solitude. He asked them some questions and wrote the deep answers of such famous monks. Then we have the Book of Rufinus, books about Desert Fathers. And so many other works of famous personalities. Jerome, for example. Jerome wrote the story of Saint Paul the Hermit and of other famous monks as Saint John of Lycopolis and other Coptic saints. The Coptic monasticism was famous for having the monasteries in the desert. Some Western monasticism have the monasteries in the city. But Coptic monasticism preferred the desert. The desert during that time was very far from cities. And it was not easy to reach the places of the monks. Now in Egypt, we have great work for cultivating the desert. The farms are coming nearer to the monasteries, and it is easy to use a car to go to the monastery. But at that time of the saints, it was not easy at all to visit any monastery. So the person who visited the monasteries and the monks paid great effort and took long time in order to reach them. But they were visited by many remarkable personalities. All of them came to take a word of spiritual benefit, or to notice how these people live such a spiritual life. They lived the life of solitude, so far from inhabited places. These were the normal monks. But we had another grade of monasticism, which was called the grade of anachorites. Some people call them hermits. Those anachorites lived so far in the desert. Some of them were not known by anybody. Saint Paul the Hermit lived 80 years. Nobody saw him. At last, at the end of his life, he was visited by Saint Anthony, who knew from him his life and how he became a monk, and wrote his story and sent it to the church and buried him. Also, for example, Saint Nofer, Abba Nofer, he lived all his life without not seeing by anybody. At the end of his life, God permitted Saint Paphnutius to visit him and know all about his monasticism and wrote his story. Those people who were very great in spiritual life, we don't know the inner life of monasticism for them. We don't know how they experienced life of contemplation, of prayer, of solitude, of silence. We know only the frame of their life, which was written to us by such saints who visited them and wrote about the beginning of their monastic life, the end of their life, But what goes in between the real spiritual life, we don't know anything. They preferred not to be known by the world in order to be known by God Himself. They didn't want to be famous in the world. They preferred to be unknown. In the Coptic monasticism, as I said, they lived a life of solitude and life of silence. Their silence was not to avoid faults of tongue, faults of speaking, but their silence was to have time for meditation, for contemplation. Saint Arsenius the Great, who came and lived in the Coptic deserts, was not speaking with others. One of the saints said to him, "Why don't you speak to us, our dear father?" And Saint Arsenius replied, "I can't speak with God and with human beings at the same time." So they preferred silence in order to have inner work, inner spiritual work, speaking to God. Those people could experience the biblical verse written in Deuteronomy 6 and repeated in St. Matthew Gospel, chapter 22. "You love our Lord God from all your heart, from all your mind, from all your might." Here in the world, we speak to each other, we meet each other, we have conferences, but sometimes we have not time to stay with God. We have not time to pray as the monks prayed. All what the monk can do may be done by any layman except prayer all the time. Who can pray all the time? While we are engaged in so many works, so many responsibilities, whether in the house or in the job of any person, so many responsibilities. But the monks had all their life, all their time devoted to God, to perpetual, continuous prayers, contemplations, divine relation between them and God. No one can do this except people of solitude, except those people who lived in the desert, not in the city. Because even the monastery is a place of a community. You may call it a holy community, a monastic community, but at any rate, it is a community. And so many relations take place among the members of these communities. But the people who lived in solitude didn't speak with others in order to speak with God. Didn't think of others in order to think of God. Didn't have relation with others in order to have all their life in relation with God. Of course, we can love God through helping others. But this was considered by them an indirect relation. But through prayers, they experience the direct relation with God. So they lived in solitude and the life of silence, the life of prayer, the life of contemplation. Some of these saints, whenever their places were known, they changed the places and left the place which is known in order to live in a place which may be more far and to be unknown. They didn't search for the glory of the world, nor for the pleasure of the world and the happiness of the world. So, as they lived in such solitude, they didn't have any job even in the church, any responsibility even in the church. When monasticism began, it was away from priesthood. Monks were not ordained priests. First, even in the monasteries of Saint Pachom, he asked some of the priests of the nearest parish churches to come to the church to officiate the Holy Mass, to give absolution for those who confess, and then leave. After this, gradually, they were in need of priests for confession, for the prayer of Eucharist. And then some priests were ordained. Saint Macarius the Great was a priest before becoming a monk. But Saint Moses the Black was ordained a priest. Saint Isidorus was ordained a priest. Saint Memo. The priest was the father of confession for some thousands of monks. Gradually, they began to have the degree of hegumen. Some people may call such priests archpriests, but the real translation is hegumenus, hegumen. We had only one hegumen as Saint Daniel for the whole state, for the whole Wadi in Natrun. After this, they began to choose some of the most holy persons to be bishops. But it was not the tradition of the early centuries of monasticism. After this, all the bishops in our church, nearly the great majority, all of them were monks. The metropolitans are monks, the patriarchs are monks, and this is also take place in other Eastern and Oriental Orthodox churches, and also in the Catholic churches. All of them are monks, began their life as monks. But first, the monks were not in ranks of priesthood. And they fled from being ordained a bishop. Even Saint Pachomius, the abbot of what is called Connobium, that means living together, that means monasteries. The first person to establish monasteries in the whole world, who established 9 monasteries in far upper Egypt, near the area of Isna, of Luxor, and such places in upper Egypt. He was not a priest. He lived his time as an abbot of 9 monasteries while he was not a priest. And his great disciple, Saint Tadros or Theodorus, was not also a priest. They put in their mind that they don't want to have so responsibilities of priesthood in order to have their time devoted to God, and also they don't want to have the glory of priesthood or the glory of being a bishop, a head of a diocese, a person respected by others, because they lived also the life of humility. Whenever they found respect coming nearer to us, they fled from human glory, from human respect, to live a life of solitude. They lived also a life of poverty, complete poverty, to own nothing. They owned nothing in order to be owned by God, in order not to have pleasure of money or of any property. So, it is known in the tradition of monasticism that the monk does not inherit anybody. And also he is not inherited. He is not inherited because he has no money. He doesn't own anything. But why he cannot inherit one of his most near relatives? Because when we ordain a monk or consecrate a monk, we pray for him the prayer of dead persons, of persons who departed from the world. So he is considered as a person dead to the world. Once one of the monks was told that one of his nearest relatives died and left so many money and properties for him to inherit him. And then he said, how can a dead person inherit another dead person? He is dead to the world. Not to inherit, not to be inherited. They lived also the life of purity. Purity of heart, purity of mind. Also, they lived the life of virginity, celibacy. Virginity is virtue. Celibacy, any layman may live the life of celibacy, but virginity means to live the life of celibacy at the same time devoted to God. His life to be devoted to God. They lived also a life of simplicity, away from the, what to call, to civilization of the world. They lived a very simple life. In their residence, a place which is very poor, very simple, and their eating or drinking, they have not the complicated way of life as those in the cities who may have. Very simple in their life. They left all their properties to the poor. As when Saint Anthony heard this biblical verse in the church, if you want to be perfect, go and give all what you own to the poor, and then you can come and follow me. And he left all his properties. He was a rich man. His father was a rich man. When his father died, he looked at his dead body and said, you left the worldly unwillingly. I will not do the same. I will leave the worldly in complete free will. And he took all his property, he gave them to the poor, and went as a poor person to live without owning any part of property or money. Many princes left their titles and their glory and came to the deserts of Egypt to become monks. As an example of this, Saint Maximus and Saint Domitius were two Roman princes. Among ladies or among virgins, we can mention the name of Saint Damiana. She was also a princess. Some queens who were obliged to marry kings, they left the kingdom or the worldly kingdom in order to be nuns. They didn't want to enjoy any worldly glory. They remembered the story of Lazarus and the rich man, which was written in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16. As our father Abraham said to the rich man, "You had your pleasures in the world, but for Lazarus, as he had pains in the world, he received his pleasures in the other world." All these people thought too much in their eternity, in their eternal life, how to prepare themselves for the life to come, not for this life. But some of them could serve the church. How? I can mention an essential point. At that time, the world had not printed books or printed papers. So we had in the Coptic deserts many scribes who could leave copies of the books of the scriptures of the Bible. In the area of the monastery of Amba Bishoy in Wadi Natron, they had about 400 scribes. Now, in many of the libraries, we may have some manuscripts written by monks in ancient times. I don't want to speak too much about Coptic monasticism in the past, but I want to say that this Coptic monasticism were carried to the other churches. As for example, Jean Cassian came from Gaul is now France. He carried monasticism to Gaul.